Welcome to episode 66 of I Wrote This News. Today is set March 12, 2022. Every weekend, we will give you a wrap-up of the week's events, highlighting and expanding on listener favorites from the week. Let's dive in. Story number one, DeSantis needs to start getting crazy and breaking laws if he wants to be president. The right-wing attorney who authored coup memos for Donald Trump and supporters on how to scuttle the presidential election lost a court battle Friday to hold back his documents from the House Select Committee investigating last year's January 6th insurrection. Lawyer and Kamala Harris denier John Eastman claimed the situation had turned him into a, quote, pseudo-defense attorney for the former president, in which case the emails would be protected by attorney-client privilege. Eastman warned in his civil suit that granting the committee access to his emails involving the former president could amount to a historic legal finding that Trump may have committed a crime while he was a sitting president. The committee argued Wednesday that Eastman's records are indeed likely to show evidence of multiple crimes committed by both him and Trump, which would thereby trigger the crime fraud exception to attorney-client privilege. In other words, both sides seem to agree that the emails will show that Trump was involved in illegal shenanigans. They only disagree about whether his so-called pseudo-attorney broke the law as well. In related news, a legal brief filed by lawyers for the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol makes the case that Trump knowingly misled his followers about the election and pressured Pence to break the law in weeks and hours before the assault. Specifically, a data expert for former President Donald Trump's campaign told him bluntly not long after polls closed in November 2020 that he was definitely going to lose his campaign for re-election. And multiple top officials at the Justice Department informed Trump that they had closely examined allegations of fraud that were being circulated by Trump's close allies and had found them simply untrue. Much of the case, however, depends on whether facts and evidence penetrated Trump's anti-reality force field. That's really unlikely based on past experience. Here's Trump explaining how to get rid of the coronavirus.
Supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant, where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
And here's Trump explaining how he must have won the 2020 presidential election because he beat his past self from 2016.
I got 75 million votes. I got 12 million more than any other sitting president ever by far, not even close. Usually they get less, like Obama got less his second time. But I got 12 million more, a record.
And here's Trump telling Santa Claus what he wanted for Christmas in 2020.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
In other words, Trump appears to be sufficiently disconnected from reality that he could plausibly argue that he genuinely believes that he won the 2020 election, and that means he's unlikely to be convicted of knowingly misleading his followers. In the most recent YouGov poll on the likely outcome of the 2024 Republican primary, Trump clobbers his next closest competitor, Florida governor and fire hydrant stand-in Ron DeSantis, by about 20 percentage points. Story number two, Prince Andrew offers to help maintain Prince William's helicopter. Queen Elizabeth II has reportedly urged her grandson Prince William, who is second in line to British throne, to stop flying helicopters himself with his family. We're quoting Geo News, which quoted the Daily Mail, which quoted The Sun. It reported that the 95-year-old monarch has asked the Duke of Cambridge to stop flying helicopters himself with Kate Middleton and their children because she is terrified that disaster could strike. The Queen has told William she was worried that, however good he is as a pilot, bad weather and accidents can strike at any time. It further said, this is more than grandmotherly advice such as, quote, don't run with scissors or wait at least an hour to swim after you eat or if you keep that up, someone's going to lose an eye. She specifically fears that an accident could threaten the line of succession. The current heir apparent is Prince Charles, in line for succession after Charles are William, then his three children by order of age. Were all of them to perish, on deck is Prince Harry and then his kids. As there is a chance that none of them would be game, that leaves Prince Andrew. All of which to say, wiping out one family and leaning on another could have a lot of upside for, say, Prince Andrew. Story number 3, so long, chicken McComrades. President Biden on Tuesday announced a U.S. ban on Russian oil and gas imports over the country's invasion of Ukraine, taking aim at Russian President Vladimir Putin's main revenue source as Russian forces continue battering Ukrainian cities. President, an old, straight, white dude who still beat Donald Trump, Joe Biden said, quote, "We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be accepted in U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine." In related news, McDonald's announced that it will shutter all 850 stores in Russia in response to President Vladimir Putin's assault on Ukraine. The bottom line, the United States will no longer get gas from Russian oil, and Russia will no longer get gas from American Greece. Story number 4, does this anti-vax hat make my brain look slimmer? COVID-19 may cause greater loss of gray matter and tissue damage in the brain than naturally occurs in people who have not been infected with the virus, a large new study found. With normal aging, people lose a tiny fraction of gray matter each year. For example, in regions related to memory, the typical annual loss is between 0.2% and 0.3%. But COVID patients in the study lost more than non-infected participants, experiencing between 0.2% and 2% additional gray matter loss in different brain regions over the 3 years between scans. They also lost more overall brain volume and showed more tissue damage in certain areas. The effects may be particularly notable because the study involved mostly people who, like the majority of COVID patients in the general population, were mildly affected by their initial COVID infection, not becoming sick enough to need hospitalization. Vaccine skeptics looked at the brighter side of the study, saying that getting COVID is like putting your brain on a diet. One anti-vaxxer said, "After getting COVID, I can finally fit into the trucker cap I wore in high school. It's a miracle." Story number 5, at least the spiders are small, oh, never mind. A lingering worldwide pandemic, a Russian invasion of Ukraine, an American citizenry divided as it's ever been. We've hit rock bottom, right? Not quite. An invasive species of spider the size of a child's hand is expected to, quote, colonize the entire East Coast this spring by parachuting down from the sky, researchers at the University of Georgia announced last week. Large Joro spiders, millions of them, are expected to begin ballooning up and down the East Coast as early as May. Researchers have determined that the spiders can tolerate cold weather but are harmless to humans as their fangs are too small to break human skin. Yep, fangs. The Joro spider is native to Japan but began infiltrating the U.S. in 2013, concentrating in the southeast and specifically Georgia. According to NPR, they fanned out across the state using their webs as tiny, terrifying parachutes to travel with the wind. Next up, aliens arrive to take over the planet. Or maybe we all lose our internet access simultaneously. March 12th is the 71st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. 294 days remain until the end of the year. On this date in 1912, the Girl Guides, later renamed the Girl Scouts of the USA, are founded in the United States. 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt addresses the nation for the first time as President of the United States. This is also the first of his fireside chats. 1968, Mauritius achieves independence from the United Kingdom. 1989, Sir Tim Berners-Lee submits his proposal for an information management system, which subsequently develops into the World Wide Web. 1999, former Warsaw Pact members the Czech Republic, Hungary and Poland join NATO. Celebrating birthdays today are actress and Agent 99 Barbara Feldon, race car driver Johnny Rutherford, drummer Ron Tutt, actress Liza Minnelli, politician Mitt Romney, singer James Taylor, musician Marlon Jackson, Olympic synchronized swimmer Candy Costi, politician Tammy Duckworth, journalist Jake Tapper, pole vaulter Becky Holliday, actress Lily Borden, Olympic swimmer Jessica Hardy, 1998 Czech figure skater Elizaveta Yukalova, and Japanese physicist and academic Leo Osaki. He turns 97 today. Happy birthday to all of them, and if your birthday is today, a very happy birthday to you as well. By the way, if you or someone you know is having a birthday and would like us to announce it on the show, leave us a voice message or send an email. The links are in the show notes. Today's news was brought to us by The Washington Post, 538, Yahoo News, Geo News, Harper's Bazaar, CBS News, The Independent, The New York Times, Axios, and the only website I trust with fixing my brakes, Wikipedia. If you have a comment or a question about anything you've heard today, or if you have a suggestion, please send us a note at I Wrote This News, all one word, at thatradioshow.com. That email address one more time is I Wrote This News, all one word, at thatradioshow.com.
One more thing, if this podcast sounds a little funny, that's because it's also an experiment. All of the vocals were generated using AI technology. Hopefully the show will sound different and better as the tech improves and as we improve at using it. I'm Bob Meese, hoping you have an amazing day. We'll get together again soon.